to the Harris More Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris with the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We want to encourage you to pick up your phones and call. This is a live call-in talk show. We are broadcasting over the HPR network, KATX 97.7 out of Eastland, Texas, and KNNK 100.5 out of Dimmitt, Texas, or Hereford, Texas. And we're also on the internet radio, knowthetruthradio.org, and you can listen to that on your computer, or you can also catch it on your iPhone if you have one of those, internet radio station. We have several ways to contact us. You can call us. That's the preferable method at 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. It's a toll-free number from anywhere in the United States of America. We'd love for you to call in wherever you are. Our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say, and now let's hear what the Bible has to say. We will also want to welcome our additional sponsors, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, and the 4th and Stewart Street Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas, there where Ryan Smithy is the preacher. Also, we have a few announcements that we'd like to make before we begin our radio program today. We have a few gospel meetings that are going on right now and will continue to go on in the weeks to come. The gospel meeting at De Leon with Dan Friedman, or Fredman, it began yesterday and it will continue through April the 3rd. And the theme of that gospel meeting is, Do You Know Jesus? Then April the 7th through April the 10th, there will be a gospel meeting in Hamilton, Texas, and John Moore will be the preacher there, and the theme is Getting Close to God. So we encourage you to go to these gospel meetings if you have an opportunity. They'll be going on Sunday through Wednesday at each one of those different congregations there. We started 2-3 weeks ago talking about false teachers and false doctrine. And last week, we picked up on a few things, the reality of these false teachers and the reality of their false teachings. And what we have determined by using God's Word is that religion that is left up to man is absolutely ridiculous. What happens when you leave religion up to men's devices is they just make it anything they want it to be. And we have three cases before us tonight. We presented these last week as we were on a live program in Rising Star, Texas. We were broadcasting live from that congregation there. But we have the three cases that we set out before us last week was the Catholic Church and its two popes. Now, the Catholics claim that the Pope, who is selected by men, is God in the flesh and a representative of God in the flesh. But then how can every two? Who's in control here? Who's in authority? This is not a representation of the New Testament church that we read about in the Bible. And another one of these false teachers and false teachings that we want to focus on are the Jehovah's Witnesses in their total denial of Jesus Christ as the only divine Son of God. Their claim is that their literature, scripture studies, is more authoritative than the Bible, the inspired Word of God. But this also is not a representation of the New Testament, nor the New Testament church that we read about in the Bible. Tom, we have a description by Jesus himself of who is in authority and who is in control and who actually put the church together by which we are to worship Jehovah God.
Exactly. You know, and David, there are a lot of people today who have religious organizations.
Mm-hmm.
But their religious organizations are based upon man-made doctrines, man-made creeds, man-made traditions, and have gotten away from He who was the originator of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And back in Matthew chapter 16, Let's begin up there in verse 13. It says, now when Jesus came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, now we're in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, someone said, John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? They had a misconception about what Jesus was all about.
Mm-hmm.
But in verse 16, after Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, that upon this rock, that is his confession, that Jesus was the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Here on this magnificent moment, David, Jesus said that he was going to build his church. Now, several things about that. It belongs to Jesus.
Possession.
Possession. And I'm going to build my church, singular.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important for us to realize, because we live in a world, David, when we get all of these various religious groups that claim to be Jesus's, that claim to belong to Jesus, but Jesus said, I have one. Now, we've talked about the Catholic Church and their popes and Ariel. By the way, we're going to talk more about that next week.
Next week, we're going to have a couple of guest hosts here to
exactly.
talk about that. And actually, they're going to take this to its full level, you might say. They're going to explore what we've got here with these two popes in the first place, and what we have here with the Catholic doctrine, which does not match up anything that Jesus Christ has actually put together here in the New Testament.
Exactly. Now, most everybody who's been listening to us know that David and I preach for the Church of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that is the Bible, that the church that was established right here that Jesus promised to build. And we are a member of the Lord's Church. Now, we've just mentioned the Catholic Church. We've mentioned Jehovah's Witnesses. And we're going to show in future lessons where these guys are wrong. But you know what, David? Even among our own people, there are also those who teach those things that are false, that are contrary to the Scriptures. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you belong in a denomination out there in the world today, or if you belong in the Lord's Church, you still are required to always do what the Bible says, do what God has authorized us to do. But there is a group in Abilene who calls himself the Church of Christ who are not doing that.
No, they're not. And what we are going to determine and try to pass this on to you by using God's Word is that religion, regardless of where it comes from, religion, if it is left up to man, is absolutely ridiculous when left to the devices of man. And the bar church, and we talked about this last week, and we're going to continue with it today, because we want you to see that it doesn't make any difference where you come from when you deviate away from the authority of God and the authority of Jesus and the Word of God. You get all kind of messed up, and this
exactly.
is what this bar church is. Now, the bar of the Southern Hills Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas, and over the under the oversight of the eldership of the Southern Hills Church of Christ. Now, Tom, what they did is they put a church in a bar, a satellite church in a bar. They called it the Church of Christ, and they tried to explain why a bar was the right location. And before we get into this, I want to give you this telephone number again, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. If you think that having a church in a bar, in that location, if you think that is something that Jesus Christ would approve, or if you don't think it's something that Jesus Christ would approve, we would like to call. We'd like for you to call us and give us your opinion on this. Now, the number, again, is toll-free, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. This satellite location of the Church of Christ, they're explaining why, their eldership explains why that a bar was chosen as the right location. And let me read this to you, Tom. The justification is this, quote, many people believe in God or are curious about God, but they have legitimate barriers that keep them from traditional churches. And by meeting in a bar, we hope to remove some of those religious barriers and free people up to connect with God in a non-threatening location. Now, there's all kinds of wrong with that, Tom, and we're going to explore this. This is their justification. And the first thing that I want to ask you, Tom, here, is he says many people believe in God. That's true. Many people are curious about God. That is also true. He says, but they have legitimate barriers. Now, my question to you is this. What barrier is it? And what is it that makes it legitimate according to them?
Well, that's the key phrase there, David, is the word legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer would be there are no legitimate barriers. Now, there are barriers, mm-hmm. all right, and we'll talk about those, but there are no legitimate barriers that would keep one from God and what they call traditional churches. Now, but, you know, we're going to talk more about that also. But what we need to realize here, David, is that they feel threatened. They feel like there is a barrier that keeps them from doing, from going into a worship assembly with brethren, with people of God. There is something there that is a barrier to them. There is something there that threatens them, but it's not legitimate. What we're going to find out, David, that it's really their own attitude to what they need to do is the real barrier, is it not?
Well, now, surely, and Jesus actually addresses this in John chapter 3, and we would encourage all of you that are listening to turn to these passages as we read them, John chapter 3 and verse number 19, and this is the one thing that Jesus says is a barrier, but it's not God's barrier. It's not God's people's barrier. It is the barrier that is set up by the individual who does not want to be a part of the church that Jesus Christ established. And so in verse 19 of John chapter 3, it says, and this is the condemnation or the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because the deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. Now, the first thing that we notice here, Tom, is he says, this is the condemnation. Light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light. What is the light that he's talking about there?
Well, the light of the gospel, the light of truth. And these people like darkness rather than light. And, David, that is the barrier.
Mm-hmm.
It is not something that man has placed before them. It is not because of how people react in organized religion. It's because they simply choose not to do what is right. And that is a barrier to them.
Mm-hmm.
And really, isn't it true, David, that repentance is the real barrier?
No,
they don't want to change their life. They don't want to get out of darkness into light. And so now we have here a Church of Christ who is now, well, saying, well, because they don't want to leave and come over and worship with us and leave their darkness, let's go over and be in the dark with them. That's exactly what they're saying in all this.
Absolutely. And when you look at that, they claim that they are removing some of those religious barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tom, if we're going to go to heaven, I better love you here, because I'm going to see you for all eternity. The church is the saved. The saved are going to be delivered up to heaven when Jesus comes the second time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 23 and 24. If you don't like the church here, you're not going to like it in heaven, because that's all that's going to be there.
Exactly. Now, and David, are they really easing the barriers if they're making the requirements of God easier or non-existent.
Non-existent would be a closer.
Yeah, and what they're doing here, they're not lowering the barriers. They're building up the barriers, and they're making those people feel that they're okay in what they are and what they're doing. If we want a person to repent and come to the Lord, we're going to have to. They're going to have to feel threatened.
Sure.
They're going to have to feel uneasy because, well, let's turn over to for a moment, David, to 2 Corinthians for a moment, and let's see if Paul was really concerned about the people there of that day feeling uncomfortable. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, notice as we begin reading in verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, he says, "For though I made you sorry with my epistle, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that the epistle made you sorry, though but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you were made sorry unto repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly sort, that ye might suffer loss by us in nothing for or because godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, a repentance which bringeth no regret, but the sorrow of the world bringeth death." Paul says here, David, that he first had to bring them to sorrow. They had to feel uncomfortable. They had to feel as though that they were being threatened before it would take them to the next step, and that is to repentance. But if we bring everything down to their level, there's not going to be any threatening. There's not going to be any sorrow for sin. They're going to stay exactly as they are, and they will not have accomplished anything.
Well, repentance is all about change. We have to change our ways from the ways of darkness that Jesus was talking about to the ways of light, the ways that it explained to us in the gospel message. Now, he goes on to, beyond this, trying to justify this church in a bar, and he says, "By meeting in a bar, we hope to remove some of those religious barriers and free people up to connect with God in a non-threatening location." To connect with God, there is only one way to connect with God, and that is to repent and then to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. That is the answer that we get all through the book of Acts. It is repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You want to connect with God? You don't go out here to a tree. You don't go out here to a bar. You go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and through Jesus we connect with God on His terms.
Exactly. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one cometh unto the Father but by me." We're going to have to go through Jesus, and that means, David, if we're going through Jesus to reach the Father, we're going to do things the way Jesus said, right? And we're going to notice here, as we get into this authority aspect, that Jesus tells us exactly what this is that we need to do to go through Him to the Father. So if we want to connect with God, we need to be on His terms and do things on His terms, in His way, and not our way. And that is exactly what the Southern Hills Church of Christ in Abilene is doing, is they're trying to connect people to God through another means than God's way.
And God's way is the authoritative way.
Exactly.
We don't do anything without God's authority. Now, What a lot of people get mixed up about here. Now, look, before we get into this any further, I want to once again remind you this is a live call-in talk show. You can call at 1-855-QA-BIBLE. It is a toll-free number. You can also get on knowthetruthradio.org and go to the chat box there and type in your question or your comment, and we'll be glad to entertain that question or that comment on the air. We'd rather you call us if you want to try to defend this thing, if you want to give your opinion on what they're doing. We'd like to hear that. But what Tom and I are talking about here is people trying to change the terms of God in order to be able to connect with Him, in order to be able to be saved by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the blood that he shed. Tom, it's interesting to note that Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 said that he shed his blood to purchase the church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's an odd thing that the church is just exactly what they're trying to get away from here.
Exactly. Why would you not want to be a part of that which being in can save your soul?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the idea of freeing people up to connect with God in a non-threatening location, all this is to me, David, is just a smoke screen for making it easier for people to stay in their sin, to keep their lifestyle, so that they don't have to repent. That is, and basically, in my vision of this, all that it is, giving people a way out from changing and repenting. But after all, David, you know, you've been around as long as I have in the church and things of that nature. We know there are all kinds of people in the Lord's church.
Mm-hmm.
They're rich people, they're poor people. They're black people, they're white people. They're Hispanic people, they're Chinese people. They're ugly people, they're pretty people. They're rich people. You know, there's all kinds of people in there. And if you come in thinking you can't connect with God's people, the only reason you can't connect with God's people is because you don't want to connect and you don't want to change your life. To say that we're going to have to change things and go to a bar church when we have all kinds of various people in the Lord's church already, again, all that is a smoke screen.
Sure.
That's all that is.
Well, and it really kind of irritates me here that the elders at the Southern Hill Church of Christ would refer to the Lord's church as a threatening location.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing, absolutely nothing threatening about the Lord and his church.
I've never pulled a gun on anybody that came into the church building.
Nobody.
Did you?
No.
I've never pulled a knife on anybody. I've never tried to hit somebody in the nose. There's no threatening thing about it.
You'll find that in the bar, though.
You will. There's a lot of that there.
Yes.
But if you come to the Lord's church, you're going to find a friendly welcome. You're going to be accepted as you are as a person, but we're also going to teach you what you need to change in your life. When I say accepting you, I mean not in your sin, but if you're black or white, rich or poor, dirty or clean, you can come with the Lord's church and be a part of this group as we teach you how to do the right things to be pleasing in the sight of God. And you don't have to be threatened if you really want to do what the Bible says.
Right. Well, now this brings us to this question, what is the authority of God?
Mm-hmm.
If it is that we must have authority for the things that we do, and if it is that this bar church has no authority whatsoever, what is the authority of God? Tom, have you got that answer?
Well, you know, and when we look at the authority of God, we have to start at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, where Paul says, whatever we do in word or deed, now that encompasses everything, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? Word or deed, do all in the name or the authority of Jesus. And so, in other words, whatever we do in our religious practices, we're going to have authority for this very thing. You know, we mentioned a moment ago, David, John chapter 14, verse 16, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes unto the Father except by me or
mm-hmm.
except through me. Well, that same Jesus who said that in John chapter 12, in verse 48 says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. You see, Jesus says that we are going to be judged by the very words that he has spoken. And David, if we reject these words, well,
we reject Jesus.
Exactly. Now, in Acts chapter 13,
mm-hmm.
David, we have a case example of this very thing taking place.
Sure we do. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 46. For those of you who have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn there because this is on Paul's missionary journey. And it says, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And so the individuals to whom they were preaching were rejecting the word. And Paul says, through the Holy Spirit, seeing that you put the word of God from you, you have judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Nobody wants to go to hell.
Mm-hmm. And so we see here, David, that when a person rejects the authority of God, they have rejected God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for this reason that we have to ask ourselves, is there authority for what is taking place here in Abilene, Texas? Now, David, you heard about floodgates.
Mm-hmm.
You open this floodgate, which is clearly wrong. What else is going to take place in our world? Next thing you know, they're going to go to a place where they have pole dancing, or they're going to have striptease going on, you know, because, well, we don't want them to feel intimidated or a threatening place, so let's go where the people are.
Well, if you look at television, if you raise your children by what you see on the television, then you would raise them to believe that fornication is okay, drunkenness is okay, drug use is okay. But God says this is not okay.
Exactly.
God doesn't approve of any of this kind of thing. And what we're trying to point out here tonight is that it doesn't make any difference if a denominational body out there somewhere claims that they are a church that is following the will of Christ. If they're not following the Bible, they are not following the will of Christ. It is not the church that Jesus shed his blood for. Now, the church in the bar is just as bad. I don't care if you call it the Church of Christ or as we mentioned earlier, the Catholic Church or the Jehovah's Witnesses Church. It doesn't make any difference what you call it. If it is contrary to the word and the will of God that is expressly revealed in the Bible, then it is not acceptable with God.
Exactly. And again, why they are doing this is not because they have authority in it to free up, to remove religious barriers, or to remove threatening locations. It has nothing to do with Bible authority, and really all it has to do with is they do not want to accept God's terms, God's way in doing all of these things. You know, we're told, David, in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, that we're not to add to or take away from the words of the prophecy of this book. There is nothing that we are to be involved in as God's people, as a religious organization, where we add to or take away from the Word of God. And I asked the elders there at the Southern Hills Church of Christ, where is your authority for doing this?
We would love to have one of you call us and try to justify your position on this thing with Scripture.
And we will not yell at you. We'll be kind as we possibly can, but we want to know where your authority is for this. And even if you're just those who are listening from other areas and you think they're doing the right thing, we want you to call in. We want to have an open, kind discussion about this. But David and I are going to tell you what the Bible has to say. You have heard what men have had to say. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. David, this is probably a pretty good place for us to take our radio break. When we come back, we're going to talk about why it is wrong, what is wrong with the bar church, and we'll talk about this in just a moment. You are listening to the HPR Network.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
We're back on the air, and we appreciate you being here with us tonight. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. Here with my good friend and partner on this program is David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience tonight. This is a live call-in talk show. And the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We encourage you to call in with any question or comment that you might have. Remember that our motto is, you have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. In the first hour, we were setting up the idea about the so-called bar church that's taking place in Abilene right now, where the elders at the Southern Hills Church of Christ felt it was right to have a satellite congregation existing in a bar. And David, the reason they said this was they used this, they quoted this as saying, many people believe in God and are curious about God, but have legitimate barriers that keep them from traditional churches. By meeting in a bar, we hope to remove some of the religious barriers and free people up to connect with God in a non-threatening location. Well, David, we spent really the first half of our program showing that all that was is trying to tell people that you don't really need to repent,
mm-hmm.
and they're avoiding the authority of God. They have no authority for what they're involved in, and we show that there is nothing threatening at all about the Lord's church except the need to repent.
Right, and that shouldn't be threatening if a person wants to be saved.
Exactly.
Now, Chris writes on the chat box, has a very, very good point that he makes. He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, this comes from something that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, and let me just read that to you, Tom. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And here's his own answer, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Being dead to sin is being dead to the love of sin. And you're not dead to the love of sin if you continue to go to the bar.
Exactly. You know, what we, in reality, David, Ephesians 5 verse 11 says we are to avoid these things. We're to reprove evil. We're not to have any part to do with this.
And also we have here, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, Ronnie writes about the passage there that says that we are to abstain even from the appearance of evil. And wouldn't it seem that instead of abstaining from the appearance of evil, we are actually inviting evil in?
Do we have a caller on the line?
Hello?
crossed it. It's my fault. Call back, caller, because I forgot to have the machine turned on. So let's try this again. You can call back if you would like to have a question or comment. It's my mistake on this.
That's the corn phone preacher right there. Okay, so we're talking here about this bar church, but we don't have to. We threw the bar church in there. We're going to address some of the horrible doctrines that are within the Catholic Church, some of the horrible doctrines that are within the Jehovah's Witness Church, and what we're going to see is they're all on the same line.
Exactly.
They have no authority for what they do. Even this church in Abilene, Texas, that is called the Church of Christ, that has a set of elders, even they have no authority to do what they're doing just because they have the correct name that's in the New Testament here.
You know, David, I think in reality they realize that because the Reporter News said, we realize that this is a bit out of tradition with the Church of Christ.
Now, that is from Van Cromwell, the ministry coordinator at the Church of the Southern Hills Church of Christ there. And he's the one that said it. The Reporter News reported this.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that this is a bit out of tradition with the churches of Christ. Now, what do we know about tradition?
We got. Let me get this call here, David. If you
okay.
Mind.
Hello.
Hello. Would you like leave your name and number and comment, please?
Yes, this is Deborah.
Deborah.
Yes, Deborah.
Good to have you, Deborah. What you got? What's on your mind?
Well, I had to write some things down because I have lots of space.
Uh huh.
The first thing is I put the only thing that's threatening or a barrier for people that walk through the door to me would be their conscience. They don't want their clothes to be stepped on.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a little bit
then,
having to do with repentance, isn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're talking about what's going to come up next. I mean, what's to say they're not going to start having a drive-through church service? You know, just drive through and get what you need and get to communion and drive on through.
Well, sadly, I've heard about that taking place in places like California where they have drive-through Lord's Supper and everything and quick 30, you know, there is no end to all this when we start getting away from God's authority.
True. And my last comment was, as a teacher, I'm not going to stop teaching my subject just because my students may feel uncomfortable or they may not have the answers to the questions. I'm not going to cater to that. I still have a responsibility to teach my subject.
You mean you're not going to move
just
your class to the playground just because they feel more comfortable in the playground than they do in the classroom?
No, I'm not. So, you know, we can't cater to people. You know, they have to learn what needs to be learned, just like we would need to learn what the Bible has for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, those were my comments.
Well, Deborah, you bring up an interesting proposition here. Now, you say you will not stop teaching your subject just because you're going to make them feel uncomfortable. Now, my question, what would you think would happen about the comfortability aspect of somebody bringing a sermon about the evils of drinking alcohol right there in the bar? Do you think that subject might ever be brought up? Or the subject of adultery, or the subject of fornication, or the subject of violence under anger, under all of those conditions, it would make everybody in that bar feel very uncomfortable because all of those things exist there at all times. Is that
not right? You can't avoid those things. I mean, they may feel comfortable in a church, but the Bible, what it teaches, doesn't change. The gospel is the same. They're going to have to accept it no matter where they're at.
You know, and it's not the location that's really the key here, is it, Deborah? It's the location of one's heart that's really the key situation here. Well, Deborah, we really appreciate
it. Attitude.
Mm-hmm, exactly right.
Thank
right.
you.
We appreciate you calling in, Deborah.
Thank you very much. Great call. Now, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE if you'd like to get on the program. We're talking about the bar church. We're actually focusing in on the bar church, but what we're actually talking about is God's authority, where people get the authority to do what they do. Tom, you know, the object of our worship is God, Jehovah himself.
Exactly.
He is the object of our worship. So we worship him according to his will and not according to our will. If we worship according to our will, that is what we call self-will worship. If we worship according to God's will, then we are worshiping according to his revealed will that is expressed here in the Bible. Now, you mentioned just a moment ago that the reporter news quoted Van Conwell, ministry coordinator at the church, saying that we realize that this is a bit out of tradition with the churches of Christ. Now, my question to you again is, what is this tradition that he's talking about?
Well, you know, a lot of people just flip that word around and don't really know, have any idea what it really means. But when you look at the word tradition, David, it is something that is handed down. Now, that could be something good, and it could be something bad, depending on who handed it down. Well, when we look in our Bibles, David, at the book of 2 Thessalonians,
mm-hmm.
in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 6, it says, "Now we command you, brethren," now here's a key, "in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which they received of us." David, here is a tradition that was handed down by the apostles who had the authority from Christ to do so. That is a tradition that is authoritative.
And it's acceptable by God.
Exactly.
Because it's done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can't just do something in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you have authority for it.
Exactly.
So if we do something in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only way that we can have authority for it is it's got to be in the book.
Exactly. But there is a tradition which God condemns.
Yes.
You look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "Take heed lest there be any one that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ."
And so there is a good tradition, and then there is a bad tradition.
Exactly.
The good tradition is what God has willed mm-hmm. and revealed to us in the Word by authority, and the bad tradition is what man has come up with. Now this is what we've been talking about all along, and this has given us the authority for what we preach here tonight.
Now, when you understand the idea of what we just talked about in
mm-hmm.
tradition and what it means, and we go back to what Van Conwell said, he said more than he was hoping he would say when you look at the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that this is a bit out of tradition with the Church of Christ. In other words, what he's saying is we realize that we don't have authority for this.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
Because one of the tradition of the Church of Christ is not done by the traditions of men. It is done by the traditions handed down from God we find in the Bible. And so what he is actually saying is, we know we don't have authority for this, but we're going to do it anyway. That's exactly what he's saying.
Well, you know, Jesus even addresses this when mm-hmm. he's talking to the Pharisees under the law of Moses. They tried to do some of the things that we're looking at here tonight in Matthew chapter 15 in verse 7. And by the way, I want you to know how he's trying to connect with these people here as he excoriates them for what they're doing. He says, "You hypocrites! Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draws near unto me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Now watch this. In verse 9, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." But he doesn't stop there. "And he called the multitude, and he said unto them, 'I want you to hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth defiles a man.' Then came his disciples and said unto him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?' And then Jesus answered, and he says, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall into the ditch.'" And that means there will be no salvation.
Exactly. And so, David, this tradition that they're talking about here, if it is true tradition, to the Bible
mm-hmm.
is authoritative.
Right.
It is authority-based. And so he's saying is what we do in the Church of Christ is not based upon man-made traditions, as some would insinuate. It's based upon the traditions of God that has been set forth, that which has been handed down to us in the Bible. But you know, David, when we think about this, and remember the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE, and we see a little bit, David, about why we have this trouble. It says here, our elders went into it with a lot of prayer and open eyes. We're doing what we think God is calling us to do. And, David, I find it very interesting here in all of that that I just mentioned there, there is no mention of an open Bible and look into what the Scriptures had to say. It's really something that they're just doing what they want to do.
Well, it's interesting that you bring this up, and this is one of their quotes. Our elders went into it with a lot of prayers and open eyes. We are doing what we think God is calling us to do. Did you know that a belief in the direct operation of the Holy Spirit today is the one thing that divides the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so wide open? We have out there 1,200 different denominations that came from the one church that Jesus Christ established. It's all over the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the direct operation of the Holy Spirit is something that these individuals are relying on, saying that this Spirit has moved me and has told me something that must be separate and apart from what's in the Bible, because if you read the Bible, you're not going to get any authority for what you're doing at all. And so they're saying here, Tom, what we're doing is what we think God is calling us to do.
Exactly. And David, what we really got to do is get back to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people say, well, I think the Lord, he's moving me this way, I think he's moving me that way. But, you know, you get all these people who claim that the Lord is moving them, but in reality, they're opposite extremes. One is believing he's moving him this way, which is a contradiction to the guy over here who says he's moving him this way. The only way that we can come to an agreement and know the authority for all of these things is if we go back to the Bible and use the Bible as authority and not what somebody says God's moving him to do.
Right. Now, that's a very interesting comment on the chat box here. It's put in by Kenneth. And he says this, since he moves in mysterious ways, we cannot predict the outcome. Perhaps we should have a boldness to confront sin where it exists. We were not given to the power of timidity, but of the power of the Spirit. And so what he's telling us here is what we've been talking about, the fact that we can't rely on something that we think, something that we feel, or a movement of the Holy Spirit. And we've had several programs here about the charisma of a lot of people that think that they're being taught things from the Holy Spirit that is separate and apart from the Bible. But when we look at what the Bible has to say in Jude verse 3 and 4, he says the faith has been once for all time delivered. Now, Tom, that means that he delivered the faith one time. It is put in the Bible for one time. It will never be delivered again. This is it. You can't make it up from here.
You know, when I look at the comment on the chat box that Kenneth made, something came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about there the boldness to confront sin where it exists. Now, David, there is a difference in doing that and holding a worship service in a bar.
Sure there is.
You can go into a bar and try to set up a Bible study, could you not?
Sure.
You could go in there and say, you know what? That woman's not your wife. I know your wife. She lives over there, and that's not your wife, and you are in sin. That is confronting sin where it exists. But that's not what they're trying to do with this bar church. They're trying to make it comfortable for him. It would not be comfortable for me to go into a bar and tell that guy, that is not your wife. You leave her alone, you are in sin. That would be very uncomfortable for everybody involved there, wouldn't
sure.
it? But
sure.
that's not what they're trying to do here. And, David, when we talk about, again, trying to ease things up and say, well, the Spirit has moved me to do this, well, again, we're going to have to open up the Bible. They did everything but open the Bible and look for their authority when they decided, well, I think that's what God, what I think.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're wrong, person? What if you're wrong, people? I think this is what God's calling me to do. Well, why don't you know and go to the Bible, then you'll know what God is telling you to do.
Well, speaking of knowing something, you know, you oftentimes hear people make comments like this, well, God called me to do this, or God called me to do that. Do you know how Paul, through the Holy Spirit, explains this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14? Here it is. He says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we are all called by the gospel, every single one of us. But it's not an audible voice. It's not a nudge. It's not a whisper. It's not any of those things. It is the gospel which has been once delivered for all ages.
Exactly.
That is what we are called by. And if you don't know what's in the book, you can't know what the calling is.
Exactly. And so we think about this, Dave. Again, it's got to get back to the Bible. Because when you think, and isn't it true, David, you have a lot of people who believe in the Spirit moving them, and they believe that they can do miracles and all this stuff. You've got one group who teaches this thing, claiming the Spirit is directing them. You got another group over here claiming the Spirit is directing them, and they're opposite.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't the same thing. Something, is the Spirit going to be teaching people different things?
No.
The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion.
No, he
and
is
that's
not.
Why we have the Bible, to go to the Bible, and let's open the Bible and see it word for word what God wants us to do. And so if the elders there of the Southern Hills Church of Christ would have opened the Scriptures and not just prayed about it and expecting something, they'd gone to the Scriptures and had seen this is wrong.
Well, you know, there's another passage of Scripture that comes to mind, found in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, which says, God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to the elders at the Southern Hills Church of Christ, he actually makes the comment here that we are threatening people, we are putting the fear into them, and not allowing people to come in to worship here. It says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, if God didn't give us the spirit of fear, who did?
Exactly.
Okay, so, but he did say, but he has given us the spirit of power,
mm-hmm.
and the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Now, what is that power? Paul talks about that power in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16.
Yes, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
And you know, over in the book of 1 John, and I can't remember, it says that perfect love casteth out fear.
Mm-hmm.
Read the whole book of 1 John, it'll do you good. But it's in there. I can't come up with that right this moment. Think about it. But it's perfect love casteth out fear. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
And so if you do what God says, you have enough love for your fellow man, you're not going to be afraid to do what has to be done. Now, we've got to realize, David, that we're coming already close to the end of our program. Now, quickly, David, when you think that if they're having this worship assembly there in that bar, that they're going to be teaching these people the need to become New Testament Christians. You know, I'm sure that these guys probably believe in Jesus. But the next thing that they were going to have to do is something very crucial, and that's the reason they changed the whole thing, is because
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to repent of their sins. They're going to have to change their lifestyle. Even if you're uncomfortable about doing it, you're going to have to change your lifestyle. So they're going to have to believe in Jesus. John 3, verse 16. They're going to have to repent of their sins. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. But also, David, there's other things they're going to have to also be willing to do to become New Testament Christians.
They're going to have to confess Jesus Christ before men. How many people do you think in a bar of drunks, in a bar of adulterers, in a bar full of fornicators, and you know, not, I know that everybody that goes in there is not a fornicator, everybody that goes in there is not an adulterer, but it is a breeding place for all of the above. How many people do you think would actually want to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the giver of truth that you find in the New Testament and all through the Bible? He is my Lord and my Savior, my Master, right here in the middle of this bar. How many people do you think would want to make that confession?
Exactly. And what kind of confessions do you think is going on? What kind of discussion do you think is going on? It's not going to be about Jesus.
No.
For the most, there might be some isolated situation, that kind of stuff. But they're not going to be talking about Jesus. They're not going to be talking about the Bible. They're going to be talking about another man's wife. They're going to be talking about the ball game. It's not going to be religion that they're involved in. And so there's not going to be any confession of Christ in a place like that. But you know, David, there's also another step that has to be taken for a person to become a New Testament Christian, and that is
baptism.
Baptism.
And we must be baptized into Christ. And for the appropriate reason, it is for the remission of our sins, for the forgiveness of those sins. But, you know, baptism without the repentance is absolutely worthless in itself.
Exactly.
If God is going to forgive us of our sins through baptism, we've got to stop the sin.
Exactly.
We've got to stop the sin. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the question was asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The answer was given. These are God's terms. If this is not an idea of going and connecting with God in a non-threatening location, here are the terms, and they're non-negotiable. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins.
Exactly, and if you will do that, you'll become a part of the New Testament church. There does not have to be any threatening situation. Nothing is threatening about the Lord's church. Nothing is threatening about becoming a New Testament Christian if you're willing and openly willing to obey what the Bible has to say. There is nothing threatening about that other than your own personal desires. Now, I want to mention very quickly that this will probably be David's last broadcast for several months. He's going to be probably undergoing a bone marrow transplant on the 15th of this month, probably beginning that day. And so we want to wish David well. We're going to keep him in our prayers. And David, we're going to see you here in about 2 or 3 months back with us again. And I'll give you about 30 seconds to say, see you next time.
Okay. Well, I really do appreciate those kind words. I want to thank all of the people that are listening. I want to thank all of the people that are on the chat box, those that have called in. You make the program what it really is. We love the opportunity that we have here to preach the gospel the way that the gospel is. And we thank you for listening. We thank you. We want to thank also HBR Network and KnowTheTruthRadio.org for having us on here. God bless America and God bless our troops.
You've been listening to the HPR Network.